We're back, Swazzers. How are we all doing? We hope you've enjoyed this past international break, but more importantly, we hope you've enjoyed the return to league football. More in particular, the return of our beloved Cardiff City. This season has turned out to be a roller coaster with no straight paths. Our form has been up and down like a yo-yo, but what we can all agree on is that it's much brighter being a fan of the Bluebirds. Mundane performances to dominating performances, all building up to a big seven-side derby this weekend. But of course, before we get into any of that, let me firstly introduce the right-hand man and co-host, William Kosh. How are you today, Koshy?
I'm all good, mate. Looking forward to the derby on Saturday.
Very much so, very much so. And we're very excited to announce the return of the one and only Henry Say. Henry, at this point, what's the most suitable way to introduce you? The Cardiff City fan that hasn't given up hope yet?
Just the guy who tends to be right all the time. Let's free the ego a bit. I said top six. It's looking like top six. We're in there. We're in the fight. It's looking good.
Either way, big friends of the Swaz. Big friend of Swaz. We're very, very happy to have you on. For now, episode six, season four. Of a bit of Swaz. Now remember, we're at Swaz Pod on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So like, love, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. So before we get into the contrast of results, to say the least, for the Bluebirds, let's quickly go over these past international results for Wales. First off, a dominating performance against a weak Gibraltar side away from home, a 4-0 victory with two goals coming from former Bluebird and potentially future Bluebird, Kiefer Moore. Ipswich, Nathan Broadhead also getting on the score sheet along with Ben Davis. Some impressive performances in this international friendly from players such as Charlie Savage. But realistically, the following game was the big one against international powerhouse Croatia in the hope of automatically qualifying for the next Euros. And wow, did it deliver. A great team performance from the boys. And of course, two fantastic goals from former Bluebird loanee Harry Wilson. Croatia brought a goal back in the last 15, but the boys held strong at the back as they did all game. Great individual performance at the heart of the team by Ethan Ampadu and young Jordan James. Wilson and David Brooks playing in almost a false winger roles. Well, like I said, a real team performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. The atmosphere was good. One of the best I've seen in a long time there. The game lived up to the match. It was like what you were hoping it to be. Jordan James showing Modric how to play midfield, control the game. Unbelievable. And it's good to see, obviously, the game before Charlie Savage playing. There's a lot of players are coming through now, and like players who got a bit of quality coming through and are very young. And maybe a new look Wales side in a couple of years' time coming through now. And it's nice to see Brooks back as well. Harry Wilson on fire for a Bluebird as well. The Bluebird's doing well. But yeah, Jordan James will probably be the most in that weekend, or that week of international fixtures. Obviously, Wilson had a pretty good game as well. But massive win, really, at the Cardiff City Stadium. And it's nice to see the boys back.
Henry, how impressed was you with that performance?
I mean, it was... I never bought into the hype that, you know, with Gareth Bale retiring and Aaron Ramsey, you know, coming to the end, it was over for us. I've always thought our squad is better. I've been screaming for Jordan James for that. I mean, go back from June or May. He's changed the dimension of the team. You mentioned Nathan Broadhead. He's on fire at Ipswich.
Definitely.
We got Johnson at Spurs, who Paige really isn't trying to integrate yet into the team. I mean, definitely. He's picked him a few times, but he's not picking to his strengths. I think our squad is better than we think it is. You know. So if you think about it, against Croatia, there was no Aaron Ramsey, there was no Johnson. So it's a much stronger team than we think. We aren't just there to make up the numbers. So I was impressed. I've always questioned. Paige, you know, if one of the worst things managers have is favoritism. They keep picking their favorite players. It's no surprise for me that our performance has changed since he's had to go away and bring in a Jordan James. I mean, it changed the whole dynamic of our midfield. I was impressed. I credit to Paige. He's he's got out of his comfort zone. He's picked players he's not used to picking. It changed the whole dynamic of the team.
Of course, now it leaves us with the two crucial games remaining against Armenia and Turkey next month. I mean, just from seeing with that Croatia game, like you said, Hemi, does it really exemplify our depth within our international squad?
I mean, we are a small nation, you know, but we've got talented players. I mean, we should have been qualifying for tournaments in the 80s. We just didn't have the right management set up. If we pick our best 11, you know, we can do stuff. If we've got some quality players. It's just making sure we pick that best 11.
Do you think we can put it off, Will, come next month?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, the Turkey game's at home, so beat Armenia away. And that's one game that you want to go and watch, isn't it? A home game against Turkey.
Definitely.
Packed out Car City Stadium, bouncing. And it could be massive, Brian. It could be something to look forward to. And I can't wait. I think we could beat Armenia. Just Turkey's already qualified, so.
We could beat both.
Why not?
Yeah. They could definitely sit off.
Yeah. Especially definitely. If they qualified. If they do, like, not put it off the pedal, but like maybe give new caps or some players, fringe players, game time to Turkey. So we'll see how they come and play.
And as well, like you both said, really, Johnson isn't back yet. I know he's obviously dealing with injuries at Tottenham. And for I guess the best case scenario of that is that he's in a big club with a great facility. So he'll be able to recover in his own time and at the best time. But yeah, I mean, it's great to see. And also a massive thing for me, which I've noticed, especially with our sort of fringe players, is that they're all playing game time. Although we do have some players within academies and so on, but even like Ampadu is playing in the championship. You've got Jordan James is getting his appearances for Birmingham. Even Charlie Savage, who played an incredible game against Gibraltar, really ran the show there, is playing in for Reading League One. We've got players that are playing in with leagues and getting game time and having managers that really believe in them. And again, it's just going to elevate our country just more and more.
I will say I am a bit surprised Rooney hasn't started James yet.
He'll come though.
He'll come. If he doesn't come, he'll go. Mm. I know he wasn't happy with not starting. And to be honest with you, Jude Bellingham, who they produced, every team in Europe is going to be looking at Birmingham's youth system to see if they can pick up another gem. If he's not starting regularly by January, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves.
But Rooney has mentioned he does rate Jordan James after Croatia game. Like, who wouldn't say that?
But he does.
He has to back it up now, doesn't he? Next couple of weeks.
But like I said, even if he doesn't start for Bram, he's not going to be there for much longer. He's a quality player. I didn't think after the international, I thought they're going to see his talent starting. But if they don't, if the fee is sensible, we'd go in for him. But if we don't, there'd be clubs in Germany and any other major league in Europe be looking at him, because he's a talented player, and he's only how old is he? Will 19?
Similar, yeah.
he's a quality player. And Abidu, he's only in his early 20s, 23, 24.
Yeah.
So those guys, if Abdul's easily going to hit 100 caps. So's James if he keeps on this path.
Could you imagine him at the Cardiff City Stadium, Jordan James? Though
I take him.
Could you imagine him? Yeah. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
And he's. I mean, the problem is you're not going to get him for cheap because they know
they know his class.
If we got up this year, I put a lot of my transfer budget towards him because I think you get a good return on him. He's a brilliant player. Everything you want from a midfielder.
Well, only the future will know. Only the future will know. Well, enough international coverage until at least next month, we'll say. But after a much-needed break for the Bluebirds, we then matched up against not the strongest Blackburn side away from home, which ended in a 1-0 loss. Not the greatest display of football, especially from the boys in blue. well, or purple, should I say, maroon colour. But our only bright light of the game came from a corner after Gutis performed a great head at the front post. But as we know, it was unfortunately ruled out for offside after Carlin Grant allegedly interfered with the goalkeeper. But despite this, a relatively actionless first half, it took until the 53rd minute for Joe Rankin Costellung to put the ball in the back of the net after being slotted through by Tyrese Dolan. A lovely pass through. And Rankin Costellung could have made the two if it weren't for that last-ditch tackle by Perry Engey. Where would we be without him, honestly? But Henry, were you expecting such a stale performance after the much-needed break?
Well, look, the goal should have stick. Should have been a goal. It shouldn't have been disallowed. So we go into halftime 1-0. And then we defend that. Worst case scenario, we come out with a draw. The major positive from that match was Robinson's performance when he came on. Mm-hmm. He clearly responded to what Bullitt said in the press conference, and of course, a missile lead on to the next game. I was more disappointed with the referee.
And I agree with that, Henry. Will, do you think the goal should have stood?
Well, I know we debriefed that after the game by Ian Blakey. And you can see why. I don't know why you should be offside from a corner, let alone first off. But frustrating. You could say it's a bit soft, but I don't think we played well at all, Bran, really. I think, like, we obviously talked about it after the game. It was didn't really counter press. We didn't sit back properly. It was space between the field and the fence. And we're on about the midfield, how it was a 3v2 advantage offensively and defensively. And when they were going out wide all the time, it was clearly like make that a five-man midfield, not 4-2-1-3 or 4-3-3, make it 4-5-1, because Grant was, I ended up marking the winger and the fullback was marking fullback, and the fullback was putting crosses in the daisy, the right back, it's a Cannon Britain, I think.
Yeah.
And that was the problem there. And we didn't realise really that was the biggest problem we've had. And then, to be honest, I thought we should be more confident as well going into the game. I know Blackburn are right side, but I think at the moment, a better form was us, better team. I know there's stuff going off the pitch with their owners and stuff. Yeah. But, like, for example, we're third best in the championship for the most combined passing in the build to a goal. So we've got 17 league goals. We're the third best behind Leicester and Hull. So, bit of confidence in our attack. Yeah, and obviously, as we see in Huddersfield, we can see we have got a good attack, and if you play them all together, things can happen. So it's like you got tactics wrong personally in that game. Like, it's going to be more attacky, but
do you think it was the tactics, or do you think it was that we couldn't play Mete or Ito?
I think tactics, only because it was just the spaces. There's so much space between defence and the field, and then not realising they were going out wide all the time and bumping down the field out and making it wider. And that's the only reason why. And we didn't sit off, or we couldn't press. We was in like no man's land with that. But that's it. But we obviously could have scored that goal, but it could be a different game. But I think maybe he didn't get it right there. That's what my opinion.
Well, I can guarantee you Blakey wasn't too impressed against his old side up in Blackburn. But well, in a massive contrast to that fixture was the following fixture at the John Smith Stadium. And what a fixture it was. Spoke about Callum Robinson opening the game up in the first 2 minutes of the game with a beautiful back heel after being set up elegantly by Bowler after a lovely flick on by the Yak. An impressive build-up, an even more impressive performance, an impressive reaction from Robinson, really, as mentioned there, Henry. He came on in the last game and then he got given the start, I guess, a reward from Bullet, and he definitely replied. And his recent comments about his work rates, which, again, we'll get into even deeper. But the lads just got better and better from there, from going 1-0 up in the first 2 minutes, a slick corner put in the box by Rolls, which he was delivering beauties all game, in all fairness. And big Demetrius Gutas was the first to head it home. And Carlin Grant, luckily, wasn't in the way for this one. But it was just a great performance all round. I mean, then another corner by Joe Rolls in the first half. And in the box by the Yak, Le Brut, or Big Yak, who made it. I think we need to figure out a real nickname just to stick with him. But he smashes into the top corner after a little bobbing in the box. I mean, it was pretty impressive. You can see how much that meant for him to just make it 3-0 just before half-time. A great first half, to be fair. You could tell, like I said, how much that meant for him to get back on the score sheet. But a collective of really impressive performance and moments all over the pitch, but none quite matched when the clock hit 55, free kick for Cardiff City from 30 yards at least. Mr. Perry-Engie picks up the ball, waves off Bowler, waves off Grant. And I think somehow, some way, we all knew what was about to happen. The boy whips it, and I mean whips it, into the top corner, just like we've seen him do before. The game end 4-0 in a really convincing victory. Will, how could you sum up this game, really? Such a massive contrast.
Yeah, massive difference. Obviously, more attackers this game. People want to prove a point. I'd be honest, it was a ton of play, actually, on a Tuesday, because they don't do too well on a Tuesday night game. So they just won one of the last 10 games on a Tuesday. And so, a ton of play, I think. And really good performance. We're really fluid. There was a lot of like rotations going on. I know you have your setup, like Robinson behind the 10 and all that. But like, you end up playing up front out wide, and the wings came inside, Grant came in central. And just caught problems all day. And obviously, Yak, you want to say that nickname, bullied the defender, that power and that pace. And set pieces, we brought them back and shows how massive they are in the championship. You can score one or two, the game's off, the game's dead. And we played really well. I thought Siopis was unreal on the field. Every second ball was his. I think we just killed the game off and controlled the game. And we kept pushing as well. It's not like we sat back either. We did keep going, you put on Tanner and Carwell, etc. It was nice to see.
Hannah, who impressed you the most, would you say, in that game?
It's nice. I mean, there were a number of performances. It was nice to go back to having a target man in Yak, mm-hmm. who just held everything up and allowed everything to go through him. Robinson was driving with the ball as soon as he got it and looking to make things happen. You know, there wasn't a poor performance on the pitch. I mean, how nice is it to have a game won by halftime?
It's been a while.
It goes to show that you can play Egbo as the nine if you've got Ramsey behind him. It's tough for Egbo to he's not a target man. So the key for us now going forward until we can spend in January keeping Yak and Ete as fit, because it gives us a whole different dimension up front with a bit of physicality. Let's be honest, until Robinson against Watford and Burrow was non-existent, he played well. I knew the end of the Blackburn game he was going to start, not because you knew he was going to start against Huddersfield because he earned that spot, and it just changed that, you know, we were just brilliant going forward.
Yeah,
it could have been six or seven. You know, I want a massive turnaround from last season. We scored 41 goals the entire season last season. What, 13 games in now and 21 goals?
Going back to Ogbo then, I think you mentioned Tiger Man. I think going back to the Blackburn game, maybe. I didn't think, because you've been playing Wintle as a 10, don't think it's helped him either in terms of not people getting around him. Whereas, obviously, when Mighty played, Robson was on his shoulder constantly. And that might be a difference there, but that hasn't helped. And obviously, having the extra attack isn't help the Tiger Man anyway. But yeah.
Robinson just pulled the strings. He got the ball for. You got the ball going forward. The wingers were moving. I mean, I never saw Wintle as a 10. It looked like a 10 because he would join in the press and be the second striker. But without the ball, he looked like he was a 6 to me sometimes. But it just never seemed comfortable for him. It worked well against Coventry, but we were never able to replicate that. I thought Robinson, you know, awful against Watford Borough, much better against Blackburn, really responded well to what Bullitt said. You know, that's man management 101. I'm really pleased for Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, he worked his socks off, didn't he?
Brilliant.
Linked up really well with Grant, was taking on players confidently. I mean, do you think he's the answer to the injury of Aaron Ramsey? We spoke on this podcast before about who is going to be the filling that role of Aaron Ramsey not going to be there until at least next year. Is he the answer?
It depends if Yak and Ete stay fit. Because I think if they don't stay fit and he's got to play Ogbo up front, I think he'll go back to Wintle in that 10 combination type role, because the thing with Yak, you give him the ball, it's going to stay with him for a bit, which it gives, which give players a chance to run onto it and, you know, link up play. Ogbo's more of a, you know, a second striker in a two-man partnership. If Ake and Yak are fit, Robinson, as you saw on Tuesday, was brilliant.
Do you agree with that, Will?
I think it's a start no matter what. I think you need the extra attacker, especially at home. You need that prowess. And you can't have three centre mids. I know, talking to Nathan Abai, and you're saying the dogs. You can't have three dogs in the field. You can't. I can see why he was playing Wintle maybe more advanced, because of his numbers, and you know he's got that, like that, the bring cross on lock, and then gets in those areas, it's dangerous. But I think you need that bit of flair. You saw Robinson against Huddersfield getting out of tight areas with good footwork, and we know Wintle hasn't got the flair compared to Robinson. But I can see why you're thinking it maybe. But
I'd like to, if we do get injuries, and it's a choice of Ogbo at 9, is play Robinson at 9 and Caldwell as a 10.
Okay.
Yeah. But like crouching the forward.
Yeah. You couldn't have played Robinson on the back of his Watford and Borough performance. He had to show some effort, and which he has done. So you've got to play him going forward. It's where you play him if there's injuries and Ogbo is the main choice. I'd rather play Robinson as a 9. Then he can interlink with the two other wingers.
Well, I mean, I think what we can guarantee is, I think Bullet will, of course, at the championship, and there's no really time for testing out, but I think he will give a few different roles a go, especially within Robinson, because he can be so fluid in that sense. But I think now we're 13 games in. Can we give a fair evaluation on the boss of Errol Bullet now? Like, my question is to you, Henry. You mentioned this then about his man management. We've seen him give very honest comments in the media. It may work for some, it may not work for others. I mean, is this effective, this high level of accountability?
Well, it worked for Tanner, and it's worked for Robinson. So he's got the players playing for him. You know, we're 13 games in. He's taken a team that would be down if Reading didn't lose 6 points.
Yep.
And under an embargo, and we're pushing for top six. We lost the game, but we're probably the only team that for the majority of the game we're better than Leicester. If we can hang on and wait till January, and then we can bring in reinforcements, we're going to be fine, and we're going to be in the playoffs. And I still wouldn't rule out top two. I think he's that good. Hey, people laughed at me when I said top six. They're not laughing now. I think Leicester are going to blow away. I think they're going to steamroll the league. I can't see Ipswich and Preston keeping up this for the entire season. And what Bullet has done in a, you know, with no money, in who he's brought in, imagine what he can do with money.
Do you think top six is a possibility, Will?
Yeah, 100%. Top six or top six or ten, I reckon, will be around there. 100%. But obviously, you mentioned about money and be able to spend money, it'd be good. Obviously, you brought in a couple of Turkish players in, or Greek players, sorry. I hope, like, we do bring in some more, like, homegrown. So, obviously, you mentioned Moore and James. Only because the long term, I don't want to, like, be like Solskjaer did, but always Norwegian players in, and then end up having all these players on your box when the manager gets sacked. Or we're not saying he gets sacked, but, like, a couple of years' time, we don't know these players from,
yeah, you don't know,
because the manager liked him, or that he's the manager player. Same with Warnock, you got the Hoylets and all that. Don't want the same repeat. So, obviously, yeah, if it is a quality player out there, yeah, go for it. Be mentioned from his previous clubs and Greek international and stuff. Yeah, all for it. But I would like to see some homegrown or some players like from the English leagues that we do know of, and probably would stick around after as well. But yeah, 100% playoffs is on the cards. Keep maintaining the form, we should be fine.
We know we tried to sign a midfielder, and we couldn't get that deal done because he couldn't get a work permit, I'm led to believe. So we know that they're actively looking at players already.
Well, it all comes down to January, which segues us perfectly into the next section. And it's the return of the fans' questions. We asked you on Twitter to give your questions / reactions, and we would respond. So the first question, staying on topic, is from Sam Hill 180. He says, if we keep Arrow Bullet, we will become a Premier League side, in my opinion, whether that is this year, next year, or the year after. Can we realistically have a playoff push this season? If so, what players do you think we need in January? Possibly Kiefer or even Bakasetas. Bakasetas, which is the Greek fella, the CAM / striker. I mean, if we say even just bringing in them two players, you took one on midfield there, Henry. Do you think if we say, for argument's sake, we just bring in them two players, not to say that we won't be doing any business elsewhere, because remember, we haven't spent money in a while since Robinson, since we brought in Robinson that time ago under Morrison. Do you think we can really make a, like you said, a serious push? I know I just asked pretty much the same question, but say we bring in them two exact players, does that make us a serious contender? And people are not even laughing at you, Henry?
You get those two, and with Ramsey coming back, that's a top two side.
Big statement.
Top two. That's quality players, more knows this league. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that other name. And I don't even expect two. I wouldn't be shocked to see four players come in.
Yeah, I can see more, because especially if these players who, well, you don't want to mention it, but like players who've been told I want to go and none of the manager plans have to go, we still need to replace them with some sort of players, rotation players and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised to see four or five as well myself.
Yeah, you have to look at a profile of a squad. People keep saying it's a transitional season. These aren't players, this isn't an old squad, but this is a squad with players all in their prime. Or just out there prime, or just coming out there prime like Ramsey. This is a win now mentality.
Yes.
You know, Soft just wants to win now. Gutas wants to win now. It's not a slow build. It's a go for it, and anything can happen in the championship. No one would have predicted Preston where they are now. We get the right players in January, and everyone knows it's how you finish the season which dictates, it's the teams you finish strong in the second half tend to go up.
Yeah.
The teams have started well, even though they're about to come the end of the season, they just lose momentum. So they get knocked out in the playoffs, or they just lose out in the end. So if we get the right, give us that turbo boost. Who's going to want to play us in the playoffs? Who's going to want to come to us? With our players and beat us over it, two legs. Not things would.
And I think we can guarantee as well. I mean, if the Bluebirds get back in the playoffs, I think we can guarantee that Cardiff City Stadium is going to be packed out and going to bring in an incredible atmosphere. So, like you said, who's going to want to turn up there into a packed out stadium, international stadium?
Having Ramsey on top form at a point, playing for hometown team, pulling the string, he's going to want to. Yeah. Pick us anytime, any day of the week, and twice on Sunday.
It's scary. It's scary, definitely.
Frightening for a fan, like.
Definitely. But it segues us into a perfect question from Ren Shane. He says, do you think we lose any good players or manager in January? I don't think the managers go anywhere, but any good players, I mean, or any players at all? I mean, again, I don't really want to make big statements out yet, but any players you think is going to be going out the door?
I think players who want to have a longer career will need to look at themselves thinking, I need to play.
Mm.
Sawyers will think, well, I need to play. If I want another 3 or 4 years at a decent level, I need to play. So there'll be a few players who probably need to leave if they want to be professional footballers for a few more years. Because, if you lose it, if you don't use it, and you need, so that I think that'll be a big thing. Do we sell any? No, I don't think any player. I mean, unless a silly bid comes in for Perry. No, I don't think any players go. The only players who leave are players who need to play.
Would you take some money off for Perry Engie, Rand?
Oh, how could you say something so blasphemous like that? How could you even say that? I hit my heart a bit when Henry said that about Perry with Leicester. If he went, I'd have to take a couple of weeks off the podcast, to be honest, to recover.
Would you accept like a 3 million bid?
No chance, yeah. Man. You're crazy. You're crazy, man. Best fullback in the league, arguably, at the moment. In form.
I think I'd laugh if someone offered 3 million. 3 million.
I just put a number out there.
I wouldn't even put a number on him. I couldn't even put it. He's priceless. He's priceless.
We paid 2.5 for Bakuna.
Oh, I hurt me there.
We only bought him at 250k, man. I'm doing profit.
Oh, well, mate. Oh, I could never.
I mean, he just signed a long-term contract. Especially if we're thereabouts in January. No, I don't know. So to answer your question, I know it'll be a bit long-winded. I don't see any of our key players going. I do see squad players who need to play will have to leave if they want to extend their careers.
Any names you'd put on there, Will? I mean, Henry there mentioned Sawyers. Maybe even, again, a player who I thought weren't too bad last season, man, on Romeo. I know we don't have the most impressive season, but Romeo, I mean, I think we've heard Bullet's opinion on Vontae Campbell, Daily Campbell. So I think his fate is set. I don't think it's exactly going out on a whim to say about his future. But any players that are, again, like Henry said, not getting game time?
Romeo, obviously, Romota.
Romota.
It is a couple, but then you see this before, like it comes to December, kind of November time, people are like, right, January's on the corner, I need to play for a position or I need to play for a move.
Yeah.
And then you see it, and you end up seeing them in the manager's plans because they realise, oh, this player's actually quality. But the ones we mentioned him possibly, yeah, will go. But Romeo will be a tricky one because a fullback is not someone you really want to replace in January. And if he is happy to be a replacement, a backup, all for it, because he is, you know, we mentioned it before, Steady Eddie, and he is a solid fullback. But now I'd be interested. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of anyone else. No defenders, no fullback. I'd be interested to see as well what happens with Panzo in regards of going back, because he's a high quality defender who's not playing, and maybe thought he would have got walked into the side maybe. And first joined, and obviously McGuinness and Kuta has been unreal.
He's not going to get maybe,
and then Collins obviously a left back. He's playing again there.
He gives you cover. So, he gives you cover in two positions.
But then, is he happy? England in the 21 cap, and he's been in France. He's been elsewhere. Really wanted first team football. Arguably one of the best centre backs in the championship last year. For Coventry as well. So. I don't think he'd be happy to sit on the bench all season either. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Because people have mentioned centre back cover. So is that for Flanzo or is that for just an extra centre half?
I think if he was good enough, I think Bullet would chuck him in there. But I mean, you can't, like we just said then, I think we'll speak about our back four now further on in the episode. But I think that back four, especially them two centre half and the left back position, I mean, it's pretty much set in stone, isn't it, Henry?
Yeah, but you look at the players. I mean, everyone thought once we signed that Arsenal keeper, they signed the guy, he was going to be a guaranteed start.
Yeah. You picked
the best players. I mean, from a personal perspective, I'm a sucker for Panzo, but on merit, he doesn't deserve the start.
Mm.
You know, goes back to what I said about favoritism with Page. You have to pick the best players. I'd wish he'd stay because he gives you a natural cover. On the left side, to have on the bench, and without Oudoua being injured, you know, if Collins, you know, pulled a hammy, we'd be in serious trouble on the left side. So it's I hope he stays. I also hope it's not a negative to Panzer that he's not needed, but if he is needed, like Will said, he's a quality player. He should be able to step up. I wouldn't judge him. On his cup performances, because he wasn't surrounded by the regular first team starters. Who, you know, I think if you put him in for Collins, I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah. Do you think the keeper then is a waste of a loan option then when it comes to January if he's not playing?
Well, not really, because we need a cover anyway. And the reason why we loaned him, because we couldn't sign another keeper. I'd be surprised if we make any loan signings. I think the players we sign in January will be permanent signings. With the season, players get injured anyway. So, Bowler was out for a few weeks, so we weren't even using our maximum five loan spots. But it's been when we signed the Renison, Ulrich, responded exactly how you want a player to respond. Mm-hmm. No, it's my spot. You're not going to take it. And he's obviously
international keeper as well. So that's what I was thinking. Maybe the national team want to get more game time.
He may do, but it's worked for us because it's made our first choice keeper, play his best football, play well. So if he leaves, if he wants to go in January, I'm not saying I've heard he wants to go or anything like that. But if players, were on loan and say, look, I want to go, well, at least then we'll be in a position then we can go out and buy a replacement.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there, and I don't think there'll be any further loan deals. But again, with our current loan signers, again, if they are unhappy, I guess that's between them and their parent club, and only they will decide. It's between them two parties, realistically. But the next question / reaction, should I say, is from Johnny G. What's up, Johnny? See, this says season so far exceeded expectations, but we've gone off boil lately, especially with no creative players with Ramsey out. Standout players for him, Siopsis, Gutas, and Tanner. Can't say I disagree there. Playoffs to number 10. Position 10, possible. Changes needed at number 10 unless Ramsey fully fit for the rest of the season. No, Johnny, I agree with you to many extents there in terms of, again, I'm with the bandwagon, with the train of getting excited for playoffs, because let's be honest, that's what winning the championship for. And growing up, especially in the past, really even before we were getting the promotions, playoffs was always the goal, and we were always in and around that conversation. And really, that's where we deserve to be, at least as a club of our stature. At least that's where we should be. And the standout players, I couldn't agree more. Siopsis and Gutas, and especially Tanner when he comes on. I mean, I think the thing about Tanner, which makes him so special, and you tell me if you disagree here, lads, I feel like he plays in such a unique way. He's a very, I want to say, old-school winger in the sense he plays with so much freedom. He almost like he plays without restrictions to himself. And even you can see Bullet, especially down that side when he's there. He's there screaming at him to get back, and he does work back, Tanner. You've got to give it to him. He works back. But when he in attack and when he has that ball, he lets go of all restrictions.
Tanner plays like a lot of young winners. They play without fear. They do mature. I mean, I was speaking to someone yesterday. First off, I am not comparing Tanner to a young Ronaldo, but Ronaldo, when he first went at United, ran with the ball every time. By the age of 22, he was a different player. But there's no fear in Tanner. He attacks. He keeps taking. He takes shots when they're available. I really like the Tanner coming off the bench for Bowler. It's a nice 1-2 combination. But that gentleman, I saw when he posted that question, he asked it just before the Huddersfield game. So I'm hoping what Johnny saw against Huddersfield answered a lot of his questions. And the big answer to that, when you play something like the Yak up front, it allows you to play a creative 10 because it gets the best out of them.
Do you think in January that might be maybe something we look at? Obviously, we got the Greek international number 10, who's obviously a very creative player. Do you think that is going to be a main target for Buller, is bringing in a creative replacement? Because again, of course, we're looking that Ramsey's going to be back within the new year, but we don't know how long he's realistically going to be out. I mean, the number is pretty much up in the air in that regard. So,
well, we know there wasn't an operation. We know he's getting around okay. A few people said he's not walking with a limp. It could be before the end of this year. So that's a good sign. Everyone's heard regarding Kiefer Moore, what they said there, because that's a big, that also a good target, man. Like I said, about Yak is also a big factor on the 10.
Yeah.
So everyone's heard the rumours regarding that, and stuff he was saying in the Lakers Wealth camp. So, I mean, we knew Will Ingram will be out now. We knew we put in an offer for a French midfielder who turned down the contract. Was this Thirac? So he's and everyone knows, you know, my thoughts on Ross Barkley, and that makes perfect sense now, I think. So he was always looking at another creative type midfielder. So I wouldn't be surprised just to see another, you know, a creative midfielder who can play an eight and a ten. So maybe you have Shops just sitting in the six, then you have an eight and a ten. I mean, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, we tried to sign another midfielder, but we couldn't get the deal closed. I mean, Dalman said it was for legal reasons. Well, legal reasons must only mean a work permit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see two midfielders signed in January.
As much as that, I agree with you 100%, Hannah. I'm on your side here. But the one thing that it just keeps triggering in my mind is with that the fact that we're talking about bringing in a midfielder, bringing in a creative midfielder. And then we got Ruben Colwell in the camp, on the bench. Like, you think a few years ago, especially before Morrison came in, before all this five managers in about 10 days business. I mean, it's sad to me that the fact that he was the prototype of a creative midfielder.
Well, look.
And he could have developed, and he still can develop. Don't get me wrong, he still can develop. It's just, for me personally, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to really admit it. It's hard. It is hard. It's not easy.
Look, fans are in a meltdown a few weeks ago that Robertson was going to leave because he was being ignored. But look at if you look at the turnaround between Borough, Watford, the Huddersfield, it's done a 180. And even when Colwell came, what was unlucky for Colwell when he came on against Huddersfield, he couldn't play with the Yak. Ugbo doesn't offer the same as the Yak. It'd be nice for when Cole does come on, he can play with a target man, because I think that brings the best out of him. And Bullitt has challenged Cole like he challenged Robinson. I think you look at Cole, he's looking fitter. I mean, is he probably going to be a bit of a sacrificial lamb because of the win now mentality? Probably, but it doesn't mean his Cardiff's career is over. It just means, it's going to be a harder fight for him to get into the team, because they're going to bring in players for January because they want to go for it. They want to go for it. And since they brought him in, they've all the players, the whole profile of the players they brought in are players in their prime.
I agree with you completely.
I will say one thing. I think a lot of Cardiff fans was shocked when they saw how far ahead Jordan James was in his development compared to Colwell.
Yeah, well, most definitely agree. And I think Bullitt's looking for a reaction off Colwell. And again, he's around him every day within training and so on. So only Bullitt knows, really. And we've got to trust him to make that the right choice. And if he's not seeing a reaction out of him, then he's making the calls, he's making the shots, and we can't really argue with it so far. So the next question, and this is a bit away from the football, is from Rooster Jones. His question is, Pizza or Tizer or Iron Brew? Henry, I'll go to you first.
Neither. None.
Oh.
Diet Cherry Coke.
He's made his own answer. Well, yeah. Tizer, or Iron Brew?
Iron Brew, that.
Oh, bringing out his Scottish roots, eh? Well, I think I'll have to agree with Henry there. Tizer. It was about £1 till about 2 months ago. That was a good little cheap option if you're going for a bit of pop on a Friday night. But yeah, I think Rooster Jones, Tizer 2, Iron Brew 1, we've gone for. And the next question, this is to you, Henry, but I think we'll check around the boards, is from SJ4TT. Is Henry's trainer fave? So, Henry, if you want to know your favourite trainers.
It's either the the Jordan. Let's go with the Jordan 1. Start off with
classic.
Favorite colorway, probably the Chicago's. Jordan 3s. I can't pick a colorway there. Jordan 4s, Fire Reds, then let's go to the Jordan 11s, Space Jams.
Ooh.
Maybe Concords. The 11s are my favorite Jordans, and the Travis Scotts as well.
Oh, interesting. With the Jordan 1 Chicago, you going with black toe or red toe?
Ooh, red toe.
That's controversial. That's definitely controversial. I either go for a black toe myself. Will, what's your favorite trainers?
Because Cardiff City related. Their sponsorship, I'm going New Balance at the moment. 550s. Ooh. See all the companies are wearing them. You saw Mark had some wearing them last year as well. So.
I have seen you been rocking them. I think I'll have to go in the same lane as Henry here with the Jordan 1s, in all honesty. I'll be honest. But if we're staying on the sneakers, I do like the KD 13s. They're very nice. But yeah, I go for the Jordan 1s. My all-black Jordan 1s, they go everywhere with me, to be honest.
What about 5s? Wheels. What about Jordan 5s?
I'm a big fan of them, but because I don't own a pair, I don't think I can put them in my favorite trainers. With Jordan 1s, I have about 4 right in front of me. So I'm gonna have to go with Jordan 1s. It'd be wrong of me to go away. My first Jordans I ever bought as well. So yeah, I think I'll go with Jordan 1s.
And the Reebok Shaq Attacks.
Ooh, big shout, especially with Reebok. Now with the new branding. Getting Shaq in as the president and Allen Iverson a vice president. Very exciting things going on here. Very exciting things. But enough of trainers. That is a little 1 minute segment on trainers. But that was most importantly our fans' questions, reactions. Great to see the return of the section, and make sure to send in yours for next episode. And thank you to all that did send in theirs. So the next section of the show, I can see Will already grinning because it's the Guess the Bluebird section, where mine and the guest's Bluebird knowledge is tested, where we simply guess the Bluebird. So Will, who have we got this week, my friend?
Well, this Guess the Bluebirds, it's going on the theme of the derby on Saturday, so players play for both Cardiff and Bristol quite a lot now.
No, I know what.
Back in the day, you might remember. He began at us, so 2009, 2011, played for Cardiff City, playing 40 games, scoring one goal. He then moved to Celtic in 2011, playing for 4 years, from 2011 to 2015, playing 101 games, scoring 4 goals, before then joining Sunderland in 2015, 2019, playing 4 years there, playing 58 games, scoring 2 goals. He then went on loan to Bristol City in 2016-2017 season, playing 21 games, 0 goals. Before then joining Charlton Athletic in 2019, playing between 2019 and 2022, playing for 84 games, scoring 0 goals.
It's a left back, isn't it?
Well, depends on what you want to say. You can play either.
I know the player. I can't remember his name. Oh.
I got a quick question. How long was he at Cardiff for his first stint?
Only one stint.
Yeah, one stint. I'll tell you one thing. He had one hell of a throw.
Oh, hang on.
You know him. He's a left-sided defender.
It's not a boy, is it? It's not who I think it is.
It's youth product. You know him.
Wales. Oh. International,
yes.
Right.
I still remember his name.
So you went from Cardiff. So wait. So how long was it at Cardiff? Sorry, between what years? 2009 and what?
2011.
And then went to Celtic from 2011 to 2015. Left-sided defender. Hell of a throw. Celtic.
14 caps for Wales.
14 caps for Wales. Oh, people are probably screaming in there at home. I'm gonna get this. I need to get this for my own sake of good. My
mind's got a blank. I can't remember his name. I know who Will means.
Can you see his face?
Yeah, if I got Damien Sill, keep popping into my head. It's not Damien Sill. Go away. that's way back in the past.
left back for Wales.
Yes, you was a tactic player, a defender.
Left back, that's right back. So don't try to nail it down the left.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
we're getting this.
I've forgotten his name. I'm not going to use Google.
Just think cover to Manorton. That's what you got to think about. When Bellamy was in Wits and Bothwood and Chopper. That's the year you got to think about.
I'm tapping out. I know the players are going to kill me now. It's going to bother.
No way.
Born in Swansea.
Right. I'm going to have to tap out. Don't know what's going on. My mind is just not responding.
He's even playing the Champions League.
He's playing the champ. Oh, we're starting.
It's Belgium, yeah.
I was going to say. Okay, right. Think. No, he did he? Yes. Did he? Yeah, he did. Adam Matthews. Yes, come on. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh. My mind was blank then, so it just popped into my head.
I can remember. Left side defender.
It is Adam Matthews, yeah?
Yeah.
That was hard. That was a good one. I can't believe it. Honestly, I'm not lying. For the whole time until I said that, my mind was genuinely blank. Like, I genuinely couldn't think.
I couldn't remember his name. I named early 90s popping into my head.
He was good as well.
4 years at Celtic, like.
Big Champions League international football, not a bad play at all. Well, that was this week's Guess the Bluebird. We got it in the end. This week's Guess the Bluebird was Adam Matthews. Now, remember, we're at SwazPod on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So, like, love, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. So the next segment of the show is the return, once again, of the Cardiff City's women's section with Bluebird's women defender, Hannah Power. Welcome back to the Cardiff City women's section. And of course, we are joined once again by Bluebird's women defender, Hannah Power. Hi, Han. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Of course, yourself and the girls last time out were disappointed with 0-0 draw against Aberystwyth Town at the beginning of the season, but we've been flying since. Has the team used that disappointing draw as fuel for the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I think when you drop points in any game, you want to go out there in the next few games and prove a point. And I think we've definitely done that. We've used that as a motivation, really, to get those 3 points in the games that we've played since drawing against Aberystwyth.
Well, the following task was the New Saints at home, in which the girls started off very well with Rhiann Oakley playing in Eliza Colley to make it 1-0 in the 19th minute. A very positive first half, which ended fantastically as 5 minutes from the break, Molly Kehoe scored a banger into the top right corner. The New Saints pulled the goal back in the second half, but Rhiann Oakley once again found Eliza Colley to seal the deal for the Bluebirds. Game ended 3-1. How well did the girls react in this game?
Yeah, it was a massive reaction. The girls all played so well, and it was amazing for people like Molly to score her goal that she did. It was such a banger. It was such a good goal.
I've seen.
And I think I said in the last podcast, like, Molly will score goals this season. She can strike a ball from anywhere. So it was great. It was great for girls like that to get their goals, and it was just great to beat TNS. They're a strong opposition, and, you know, sometimes we've struggled against them. So it was great that we had a strong game against them and we come out with 3 points.
Very much. Well, head coach Ian Derbyshire made 5 changes to the side that faced Aberystwyth Town, with Megan Bowman, Lisa Owen, Kelly Adams, Mackenzie Olden, and of course, Molly Kehoe all coming into starting 11. How much of a difference did these additions make?
Yeah, all those girls bring something different. Everybody in the team have their own unique way of playing football. So it was great for those girls to come in and get a start and help the team get the win. They all played really well. And, you know, like people like Kelly, she's got so much experience. She's played in Champions League for like numerous years, and she's played for Swansea at high level. So, yeah, it's great for those girls to come in and help us.
that head coach Derbyshire also introduced City under-19 trio of Madison Lloyd, Brooke Arthur and Mali Ackerman in the second half, who made their senior debut for the Bluebirds. Of course, Madison Lloyd coming off a hat-trick the Friday prior. How big is this allowing the future of the club to be given game time?
Yeah, I just think it goes to show that we've got so many talented young girls coming through the system that can step up at any time against any opposition and do really well. So it's exciting for the future for Cardiff City when, you know, us older girls have moved on. There's so much exciting talent coming through, which are only going to take the club in the right direction.
Do you think these younger girls will be given more opportunities moving forward?
I think so. I think that's what Ian wants. He wants a young group of players to come in and start getting more experience in the senior team, because some of us, you know, we are getting a bit older now, unfortunately. So I think that's what he ultimately wants. He wants like to bring the youth through, so when us girls do move on, he's got a good core squad that can step up and have got that experience already.
Definitely. Well, the next game was the long trip up to Wrexham away, as we mentioned last episode, which was live on S4C and turned out to be a fantastic game for the girls in blue. We also saw the return of club captain Siobhan Walsh making her first league start of the season. Another fantastic game for Molly Kehoe, who grabbed herself a brace. You said she was going to score goals. And also a goal from last year's Player of the Year, Fionn Price, which resulted in a great 3-0 win. It looked like a great atmosphere created by the fans, in all fairness. How was the experience as a whole in achieving such a dominant win?
Yeah, we knew going up to Wrexham, they've got such a good following, and you know, they were unbeaten up until the point that we played them. I'm sure they were top of the table, and they might have been joint top with us and Aberystwyth. Okay. So it was a really good atmosphere there. The fans are amazing, to be fair to them. They do create a really good atmosphere, but we were just so happy to come away with the win and kind of take away the sting that Wrexham had made in the league, and you know, get the 3 goals and keep a clean sheet. As a defender myself, like, that's what you pride yourself on, your clean sheet. So it was great to get one against Wrexham, because their striker, there's a lot of talk about her, their striker Rosie Hughes, and how many goals she's been scoring, so it was great to keep her out of the goal.
Well, you mentioned the clean sheet there, and I don't think it'll be talking too much more about her, but how did it feel to have your centre-back partner, Siobhan, and captain Siobhan Walsh back to your side?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, just having Siobhan next to you, it gives you so much confidence. She's a great player. So it was great to have her back in the side and leading us out into that game.
What do you think was the main factor in such the dominant win then? Was it just rising to the occasion, the experience?
I think rising to the occasion, and I just think we played the way we play. We played football, played out from the back, we kept the ball, we didn't force it, and we took our opportunities. Definitely. Which in previous games we might have not have taken our opportunities when we played Aberystwyth, but we did in this game. So I think that was, we came together as a squad, and I just think it was a really dominant performance and professional performance by us all.
Most definitely. Well, next was the fixture in the Bute Energy Welsh Cup, which resulted in a massive 14-0 away win from home against Llanelli Town. Madison Lewis and Eliza Colley netted 4 goals apiece. I know you didn't play in this game, but a massive win to advance in the cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a great win. Connectly, you know, their stadium was great. It was a great pitch for the girls to play on, and their fans were amazing. But it was great for us to score those goals, you know, and people like Madison to step up and score 4 goals in a senior day, like not her senior debut, but a debut in the Welsh Cup at senior level. Amazing for her and the experience that those girls got. And it's great that we're in the next round now.
Definitely. Well, new signing Emma Bennion has been named the Cardiff City Women Player of the Month for September. Voted by the fans, Emma accumulated 50% of the votes in the poll. The midfielder has impressed since joining from Swansea, as you mentioned earlier in the summer, putting in some brilliant performances so far this season. How big of an addition has she been?
Emma's been class. You know, I always remember playing against her when she played for Swansea when I was a midfielder, and she was such a tricky player to play against. So Swansea's loss is our gain.
You know, definitely.
I honestly can't believe Swansea let her go, because she is one of the best midfielders in the league, and we're so lucky to have her. And she's made a massive difference to our team. You know, we lost the likes of Lily Billingham last year, and Emma's just slotted in, and she's done amazing so far. So we're really excited to see what else she can do for us this season.
Well, the following fixture was again a huge 5-1 win over Pontypridd at USW Sports Park. Goals from Eliza Colley, Siobhan Walsh back on the score sheet, Molly Kehoe again, Sam Watkins and Michaela Cook gave City all 3 points to continue this unbeaten start of the season. Goals from all over the pitch, never an easy fixture, Pontypridd. How dominant was the team once again in this away fixture?
Yeah, the team were really dominant. I think you could say last season they were a bit of a banana skin for us. Like, we drew away from home to them. I think they scored in like the 93rd minute and it was gutting. We felt like we'd lost that game. It was a really disappointing game. So we were expecting it to be a tough game this weekend, but, you know, the girls went out there, they were so dominant and the goals, like you said, came from all over the pitch, people from everywhere. So it was really great to score that. And teams around us also dropped points. So now we're top of the table, 3 points clear, which is really great.
Can't get any better. Well, up until this fixture, Han, you played every minute in the Azure and Premier League this season. Did you need, or more importantly, deserve a small break this game?
I never want to have a break. Like, I hate not playing. So I want to play. It doesn't matter who we're playing, the opposition. I want to play every game I possibly can. So I don't think I needed the break. But, you know, it's great for those girls who went out there and played and started the game. And, you know, we got such a strong squad. We got a strong bench. No matter who's on the bench, a strong starting 11. There's so much competition. So, you know, I'll take it. But I hate being not in the starting team because I just want to be out there and playing football, which is what I love to do. But the girls did amazing, the girls who started and the girls who come on. So it was a great day for the club.
Still a free 3 points nonetheless.
Yeah.
3 points nonetheless. Well, the next two fixtures are two very, very big ones. Firstly, a home fixture against Barrytown Ladies on the 29th of October. And secondly, the South Wales Derby away from home on the 5th of November, of course, against Swansea City. How are the team feeling building up to these two huge fixtures?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to them both. We tend to take just one game at a time, so we don't really think about the week after. So we're focused this week on Barry. And, you know, they've just come away from a really good win. They beat Cardiff Met. So they're going to be on a high. So it is going to be like a tricky fixture for us. But I hope the fact that we're playing at the stadium, all of our fans will be there. It'll just spur us on to go out there and put on a good performance for our fans and get the 3 points. And then Swansea the week after, you know, a South Wales derby. Hopefully it's a spicy, good game for us.
<Can't beat it. laughs>
But we come away ultimately with the 3 points.
Most definitely. Well, thanks so much for coming on once again, Hannah. We're so thankful to have you on. And best of luck for them two huge fixtures.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. That was the Cardiff City women's section. An unbeaten start for the girls in blue. And they hope to continue that this Sunday at the Cardiff City Stadium against Barrytown Ladies. Make sure, if you can, to go and show your support. So in other news, Loney Isaac Davis is back on the score sheet for KV Cordric as he bags the winner against Club Bruges, against former Liverpool goalkeeper Simeon Mignolet. If you've seen that finish, cool as you like it. Davis has banged 2 goals in the last 3 games and has been named King of Cordric by the Belgian fans. There's even banners for the Bluebeard graduate. In the grand scheme of things, how great is this for the club and most importantly for Isaac moving forward well?
Yeah, it's massive for him. I was just thinking that when you were saying he's on form, I was like, I'm trying to work out where he'd play if he did come back. It'd be interesting to see if we would like him in maybe the Grant role or could even play in a 10. I don't know. I can't see him play up top if you want to have a target man. But nah, I think we all knew his quality. I think he suits obviously different manager styles, which we can have really here. He's a great finisher. I think even when he was in the academy, I think we all kind of knew of his name because he was scoring goals of fun for the academy and he like keeps seeing his name on Twitter all the time. But he is some player. It's nice in the fact he's gone over there and gone to a new country, new experience, and scoring against some decent size, Club Bruges, teams inside, Champions League, aren't they? Or they still are Champions League, I'm not sure, but decent side and doing well.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like I said, this is great for the club moving forward to be able to send our young players out to Tans of a club, obviously in Belgium, and this could be the start of us actually being a club that loans out great young players. Because again, we speak about the potential and how great we can produce players out of this academy, out of South Wales, out of Cardiff. So, I mean, we've always been massive fans of Isaac on the pod, even when he was in blue. Henry, do you think, like Will said, he can come back in the summer and seriously fight for this place?
I think he can. I also think Paige should be looking at him as well.
No, definitely.
I'm not saying Page to start him. No. But he's been in a league that has produced some superstars that does send teams to Champions League. You know, if Page is in a, if we are in a rebuilding or changing of the guard type era, he should be looking at players like Isaac Davis. I mean, and I agree with Will. I think, I mean, even say argument's sake, let's give a scenario. Davis comes back in January. I don't know if he would, but I'd like to, you know, you got the Tanner bowler on one side, Grant Davis on the other side. There was always talk that out of all that group of young players, Davis was the most talented, which is probably why Burnley came in for him. So I think it's great for his career. It's great for us. It's also good for Wales.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think KV Cordrick are going to look to send him back anytime soon, because I think as well he's enjoying his football, he's getting plenty of game time, loved by the fans so early on. So I think he will be there for the rest of the season. And again, hopefully, I hope he can come back and fight for this place. Because again, we talk about this Cardiff City-ness, which we always alert back to. He really does. He does exemplify that, to say the least. We also failed to mention as well during the international break, Kean Ashford, another Bluebird graduate. Incredible volley to make it 1-1. If you haven't seen, make sure you go over to Twitter. There's plenty of other outlets to watch it on. But for Wales under 21s against Czech in the UEFA Euros qualifiers under 21s, an unbelievable goal for the young Bluebird. The 19-year-old has come off the bench for us this season against Birmingham and Blackburn in the Cup. I mean, Will, is this the beginning, would you say, of not just for Kean Ashford on a personal note, but for special things at the academy? I mentioned about players going out on loan and now doing an international save for under 21. That isn't a low level, to say the least.
Yeah, 100%. Unbelievable finish without the goal. But yeah, clubs seen a bigger picture with the academy. Mentioned that. Them coach, they brought in Darren Davis. Swansea 16s and 18s manager, worked with Ange Postecoglou and Spurs manager in Australia, just a manager. So some CV and help, basically the role of you guys just helping them with their like goals, long-term goals, short-term goals, overseeing like elite training groups. So making sure the best hands from the training, from the academy are progressing into the first team correctly and how they should be and having goals, and they should be like reaching their goals by certain periods of time and stuff, which we need. And you can't just chuck a point into the first team and hope for the best. You need to have certain things that they should try and aim for and get to, and that's what we need. And hopefully Kean Ashford could be one of those players who benefits off that, and we could see him starting more regularly in the Cardiff City team.
Henry, do you think this could be the start of the club seriously starting to utilise the talent out of our academy and the talent out of the South Wales area?
Yeah, and like Will touched on, it's about seeing the bigger picture. So even though this is a win now mentality for the first team, we've also got to think 5 years ahead. I mean, let's use Tanner for example. Tanner went to York last year and it was disastrous. You know, and he comes back from York and they don't think there's a player there. Well, he spends the summer with Belay and he's now a championship player. So we need to put something in place where we can help get our young players ready for the first team. Maybe that's a different training program. Maybe that's a better loan system. Maybe it's also adopting a different transfer policy and signing a younger player and looking how to develop them, like Brighton, for example.
Yeah, and that could definitely start with, like we mentioned earlier, players like Jordan James bringing in. And even a player we failed to mention again, just to alert to our last time, we'll alert back to the international breakers, Luke Harris. I mean, they seem like a decently big fan of him in Fulham, but not really giving the opportunities on international. And again, we think about him being a big fan of Fulham, 18 years old, not giving too many appearances. Should we start to target players like that and build that sort of culture here? Because again, you talk about bringing in player development coaches, and Buller and his staff seem to be a staff that enjoy developing players to a certain extent and enjoy looking for reaction out of certain players. Do you think that we could start to go down that road? Well,
yeah, 100%. And I think what's key is if we could obviously start showing teams like the Belgian side that we do produce players, we are then able to then say to these players, well, we could get you in, but we, for the first year, you are not allowed to a team in this league or this country. But it's how we go about doing that first, and then when that is set, then we could really start aiming for like these talented youngsters or players like looking at academies who are quality and we can start bringing them in early, things like that. But I think getting like the structure and the format done first, showing other leagues that we can produce quality young players, and then we can attract these players, and then hopefully if they do get a chance in the first team, they could take it, and just have some sort of like pathway that they can follow. Like you mentioned, these goals and these individual programs. If they have certain program, if they can hit their programs and hit their goals, like why not? Can they get a first team opportunity, no matter the age?
100%. And I think, like I said, this is the start of the road that we've been asking the club to go down for so long. And you look as well with the academy getting built in Llanrwany, which you mentioned on the pod. This is all a factor in creating this perfect storm, if you will. So yeah, very exciting times in that regard for the for the first time in a while at Cardiff. But back to the championship. We are, believe it or not, I know you like to check in a stat, Will, but I got a few up my sleeve myself. We are the current championship leaders in the championship for clearances per match with 22.9. How watertight has that, solidified back four been? Well, I see you going in your face there, Will.
Is that a good stat to have, though, on the most, what was it, clearances?
Well, if you're looking from a defensive point of view, we spoke about earlier how watertight that defence has been and how really they've all solidified their positions. I mean, if we're talking about back four, we talk about players going in and out in the defence, whether it be Panzer going out from loan or maybe Vontae Campbell, Romeo, all these players. That back four, I'm using it to really to say how strong it is to be in. I know we mentioned earlier, but I don't think we can see it breaking up.
Yeah, no, it obviously the back four's been quality and done very well. I thought Gutas has covered ground quicker than I thought he could do anyway. Mm. And obviously McGinnis has been solid at the back and scored more goals from set pieces now because of Gutas and etc. And the Collins has came back well from an injury, and obviously NG being NG. But they've been really good, but it's not a stat really that you would want. Like same with the keeper, you don't want to have the most saves, or you don't have be the team of the season as a goalkeeper, because it means you've conceded the most chances or etc. But the fact they're getting it clear and not letting those chances happen is a good thing, obviously. But yeah, they have been good, Brand.
I'm sure at least 11.5 of them clearances a game has been by Perry and G alone, which again goes by why he's worth more than 3 million.
I would say I'm happy with our defence. I don't think it's good enough, when we try to do the old, winning 1-0 away. I don't think it's not the Arsenal back four, under George Graham, 1-0 to the Arsenal. It's good. It's not rock solid.
Mm.
We don't have that ability, which I think we kind of tried with Winfield, to try and score one goal and then shut up shop. We need the right balance between defence and attack.
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's a very good point. As much as I'm a massive fan of our back four, and I do believe it's fantastic, especially at championship level, I do agree in the sense, and we've seen that a couple of times this season as well, where Bullet has tried to sit back. And again, we need to have that right balance in going forward and as well as protecting our back line. So yeah, I agree with that. That's a very fair point. But of course, as we mentioned earlier on, this weekend we have the huge seven-side derby. Oh, always a huge fixture, lads. Pretty much guaranteed fireworks. And more importantly, I very much hope we can continue this new pattern and passion within our derby games, which our fans desire so much. Will, how do you think we shape up against the Robins?
I think we expect goals, Brand. There's only one game in the last 22 games we haven't scored, and either side haven't scored. So I expect goals. Both of us have beat Swansea this year. So I know Bristol would like to do a double in South Wales, and obviously we want to do a double in not a double, but like win the first two derby games when possible. I think we could do well, Brands. Obviously played Swansea at home, so we've dealt with the derby at home. Hope we repeat what happened there. Same energy, same performance, same standards. I'm sure it'd be a good turnout, good atmosphere. So something to look forward to.
Henry, this is a huge fixture at this point in the season, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't change a team that won 4-0. You know, and we'll say that apart from, I mean, I think we only failed to score against Spur and Blackburn. And in fairness, the ref did his job. He scored against Blackburn. so the only question for me is, you know, is in terms of if certain players can play three games in a week. You know, people say, "Oh, I can play every day." You know, it's just, that's not real work. It's when you're a high level athlete, is can your legs play at that intensity for, you know, for 90 minutes within three games in a week? You know, they can play football every day, but the quality of the games would be awful after 3 days. So that's the only question he has is maybe Rowles or Bola, you know, do they need to be rested, not dropped? There's a difference. But if they don't need to be rested, then you start the same team.
Well, I mean, that's a massive question, Mike, really, on this upcoming fixture. Who could and should be in that starting 11 for this fixture? I mean, what style suits us best? I mean, you see us again playing different styles. And we talked about that last episode where Bullet sort of reacts to the team he's playing against. And Bristol ain't looking like a terrible outfit this season. I mean, they're not great. They're not looking like a terrible outfit. We mentioned they beat Swansea, who, I mean, they're not looking strong at all. But who is that starting 11? Who is to say? I mean, we spoke about the back four. I think that back four is pretty much solidified. Henry, you said you can't really change your team. That's 4-0. You got that back four with Olnik. I think we can agree in goal. And even in that Huddersfield game, you made a few few big saves when they started to push forward. But then that midfield, do we play them three dogs of Wintle, no. Rolls and Siopis?
I don't think we should. I love that. Like, you see why you might do it because of derby, but I would like to just go at them. Just attack Roms, Yak, Tanner, Bola overall, and Grant. I'd like to see some goals, Grant, and be confident. You just won 4-0 away from home against Huddersfield. Go with that derby full of confidence.
It's nice also that Stopsis was back to his very best, playing with a more traditional number 10.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think you probably do start Riles and Stopsis in those roles, and then bring Wintle on probably for the final 20 to 30 for Rowles, you know, to keep those legs fresh. And, you know, Wintle isn't a good 8/10 hybrid player, but he's a solid 6.
Yeah.
You know, he can pass the ball. So that would be my, it's the bigger question is for me is, you know, you assume Yak stays fit. Is who you bring on if things aren't going well, or you know if you want to rotate and rest players later in the game, you know, probably Tanner comes on for Bola on the 70th, Wintle comes on for Rowles. I'd probably like to keep Yak on as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, you see how he also reacted in that Swansea game and the passion of fight he brought in that game. And I think we're going to definitely need that energy in this game. But yeah, it's like you mentioned though, Henry, playing this amount of games, we've seen how it affected us before the international break. Is he going to be forced to give some players a rest?
Sure.
Again, you say you can't change a team that won 4-0. I reiterate again, but some players are going to need a rest. Or is it just more making that sub in the 70th, 60th, 75th minute?
When's the next game after Bristol? I can't remember.
So the next game after Bristol is Stoke City away from home. And I believe it's the following, the Wednesday, I believe.
Well, that's a decent break. So you could probably get away with the same start and the same Huddersfield team on against Bristol. You know, bring on some subs, rest some players. And then look at it again at Stoke. Yeah, you can't. You win 4-0, you can't change that team. You can't.
So are you in agreement with Will in terms of Robertson in that 10, Bowler on the right, or even Tanner, or like you said, bringing Tanner off the bench, and then Grant and then Yak up top? Oh, just to confirm, it is Stoke City is the following Saturday. So
that's perfect.
It's a full week.
You go with the same team. You go with the same team. And if they feel any niggles, you bring off certain players. Choice was made then.
Definitely. I think we're all in agreement there. I think we're all in agreement. But yeah, like mentioned, the two fixtures after is Stoke City away from home that following Saturday, and then Norwich at home. Two very difficult fixtures, Will.
Yeah, Stoke have done well in the last two games. Leeds and Sunderland, so expect a decent side to come against. That's did you see yesterday when they played them? Yeah, poor kickoff. They had like a light show going on in the Stoke Stadium, and all Leeds fans like, I never forced Stoke midweek. Obviously, the rave of Stoke Stadium at midweek, but they look okay. I don't want to say his name, but Andre, one of the attackers, got four goals, so he looks a threat. But Stoke have always been okay. They got some all right players. But they have beaten the Leeds and Sunderland in the last two games, so I wouldn't like just think it's an easy win or something. But nah, they're okay.
What about Norwich? How do we shape up against Norwich? We won obviously last game, last time they came to this Cardiff City Stadium.
Yeah, they've lost their last two games, so opposite. So they've lost the last two. Obviously, lost Middlesbrough. We've been on fire since they played us.
We know we spurred them on, didn't we?
Yeah, and then Gabriel. The winger, he's got the most assists in the championship, so very attacking and creative player for Norwich. And then Jack Stacey, remember the fullback? He's got the most crossings to the penalty box in the championship, so he's leading the way there for them. So I that side is going to be dangerous with them two attacking us. So I do the two players to look out for against them. It's going to be tough. Hopefully, win the derby and get some more confidence. And the Stoke and Norwich games, I'm not too sure about.
How many points do you think we pick up from the three games, Henry, from Bristol, Stoke and Norwich?
The key is just to keep the points just ticking over. You know, getting five wouldn't be the end of the world. We aren't going to win every game, you know. But as long as we keep that, you know, the points ticking over, we're going to be okay. So I'd be happy with five. I wouldn't be surprised we beat Norwich at home. So potentially seven, but between five and seven, I'd be very happy. Nine, I'd be over the moon with.
Well, how much points do you think we pick up after knowing all the in and out stats of both teams, or three teams, should I say?
I'll go with five.
5 points. So is that 5 points from the both of you?
Let's go balls to the wall. I'll go with seven.
Going with five, Will?
I'll go with five.
I think seven. Yeah. I think seven. I think we get a result against Bristol, big performance. Following then, we get a, I think Stoke City away, never easy fixture. I think a draw might come out of there. Well, then where we might go 1-0 up quite early, and then they put on the pressure, you know, and get a goal back. And then Norwich, I think we get a result against Norwich at home. I can just see us.
The only thing I would say is just injuries. You know, we're a very good team if we've got everyone fit. We lose, especially if we lose Jan. You know, we struggle without that target man in Bullard's system. But if he stays fit, then don't forget, Etta can be back soon.
Of course.
Yeah. That 4-week period is up pretty soon, so that 1-2, you know, Yak starting on the bench, I 7 points is not the question.
I might change it to six.
Six, CT is wins. It?
Yeah, CT wins.
Who do you think we drop points to?
Because I've been thinking about Stoke. I think I just see us turning Stoke over away from home.
Okay.
I don't know why it is. When you first asked, I thought we could do a job on Stoke, and I think we could beat Bristol as well.
So do you think maybe Norwich at home is a bit of a question mark.
Yeah.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, hopefully, as Henry said, hopefully we take all 9 points from the three fixtures. But we're coming to the end of the show, lads, which I think we all know what that means. It's your time. It's our time for your tune of the week. Henry, let me start with you.
Ooh, let's go with, as we talked about sneakers earlier, it's going to have to be Public Enemy, and he got game.
Oh, and he's coming in with the fire.
Yes.
With the fire this week for tune of the week. Very good tune of the week. Will, what's your counter to that?
Well, we mentioned the dogs in the field. So I said the dog days are over. Dog days are over. Forest versus the machine. Hopefully the dog days are over against Bristol. We have another 10 playing against them.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Well, my tune of the week, I've gone for, again, on theme, I've gone for Welcome to Wales by Sage Todds. Big tune featuring Mace the Great, North Wales rapper and Cardiff rapper. Big tune that is. And that's for Bristol when they come. Welcome to Wales. You may have dealt with Swansea and got a result, but it's different down at this side of the pond. So my tune of the week is Welcome to Wales, Sage Todds. Great tune of the week, lads. But we've come to the end of the show. As mentioned, that's all we got for this week, Swazzers. Thank you very much for tuning in. And make sure you tune in next week after hopefully another successful and memorable derby. Henry, once again, thank you so much for coming on. Pleasure having you on as always.
Thank you.
No worries at all. But either way, we'll see you next time.
Blue Bird!